Good evening. I'm Harry Balzac, your host for this evening. We thought that we'd start the show with culture and a verse reading, but realised that a limerick was more our style instead. Talking of style, I'm joined by Mia Harkness. No, only joking.
Just you wait. I'll claim up in this channel battle a lot of you, you maggots. And, talking of maggot wearers, here's Juan Kerr.
I'll have you know that it's a caterpillar and I'm keeping it warm until the spring, when it'll burst forth as a beautiful spring butterfly. Talking of spring butterflies, if not spring chickens, it's Norma Snockers.
Thank you, I think. And I don't like thinking, it makes me frown. And talking of headlines, let's have some.
Give us a butcher's.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Hanky bus hullabaloo hinders Hutton heroes.
Hotbox hot bus handover heroes change.
What's the vector, Victor?
You knew it's all tickety blue.
Circle those wagons. It's time for Community Roundup.
Apparently, the bubble has a shortage of butchers. Yeah, we didn't realise either. It all started with the retirement of Don Antonacci, the butcher of Wolf 359. He's gone and he's taken his knives and the rest of the Camorra butchers with him. This has impacted on McFargoids and their ability to serve their patented better not to ask burgers, as they're forced to put in so much rusk into the burger that they're being featured on the bakery aisle. The problems made worse by the lack of extra truckers needed to move the raw goods around the galaxy. And the Pilots Federation has vowed to implement measures to ensure that no one has to forego their basic human rights of a McFargoy's with extra cheese substitute. Firstly, to alleviate the dearth of butchers, the Pilots Federation has agreed to relax the rules on language. Previously, butchers from the north of the galaxy have been barred from practicing their knife skills, honed on the streets every Saturday night in the butcheries of the southern part of the galaxy, as no one can understand a word they're saying. It's important that communication is fully two-way in an environment that routinely uses instruments that can slice off a limb, as a conversation that goes, "Watch out!
What?
You'll have someone's eye out with that, hey?" "Oh, too late. Someone ring the Pirates Union. We've got a new recruit." Can become all too regular an occurrence, even if the word 11 is impenetrable. Now, the authorities have said they'll bypass the language difficulties by making sure that there are lots of pictures in nice primary colours. And secondly, to help speed up the movement of goods, the Pilots Federation has agreed to relax the mandatory 10-minute break that must be taken when teabagging, and that they will offer the first 500 truckers who want to sign up a 3-month permit to visit Sol. So far, 17 have accepted. But we think that they may not have understood the question. The Limpet Union has so far declined to comment.
Pilots who rely on Galbook, Galchat and Galpic to validate their existence had a crisis of nightmare proportions this week when these interlink systems, for all intents and purposes, went and hid in a corner. These essential methods of communication are run by a little-known arm of the Pilots Federation, the so-called Time Bandits, an organisation whose sole job is to improve communications by providing cat memes, multimedia, experiences and opinion polls designed to discover the name of your first pet, purely for research. All had been going well for a long, long time. The Time Bandits had stolen most of people's free time, so they didn't realise how few missions that there were for them to sign up to, and they had gathered tens of thousands of pictures of asps in front of something, and this state of affairs might have continued indefinitely, except for a Mr. Dusty in one of the server rooms, who decided that all those cables joined in the boxes with the flashing lights looked messy, so rearranged them in colour order and strictly top left to bottom right, which, although pretty, did mean that the necessary data was disappearing into a virtual black hole. Panic struck the users of the systems as they were forced to look up and see where they were for the first time in years. One user said, "I'll literally die if I don't get another cat meme soon," which shows that there is still no shortage of hyperbole, and ironically the outage saved 13,267 lives in 1 hour, as people were not stepping in front of moving vehicles, completely oblivious to what's around them. The Pilots Federation was approached for comments, and Commander Sally said, "We're looking into the shortage of cat memes and opinion polls, but in the meantime, we would like to reassure all pilots that there is still no shortage of the colour pink."
The officially unofficial Colonia Fleet Carrier Rail Replacement bus service has been suspended until further notice. Grand Moff Hankey, great bull heffalump of all the Colonias, was dismayed to discover that there was no tritium available to fuel his fleet of carriers. As you know, these run a regular bus service between the Bubble and Colonia, yet despite queuing at the tritium depot and flashing his fleet fuel card, there were just no supplies to be had. Community goals, ongoing political and military hostilities in the region, combined with a general air of apathy, have meant that deliveries of vital tritium fuel have dried up, and as a result, all carrier operations have ceased for the foreseeable future. Original Hankey is busy hatching a large batch of fresh clones in an effort to convert at least one of his carriers to pedal power to reinstate a minimal service. But it's slow going, and in the meantime, Hankey Bus Inc. have reverted to a bring-your-own-ship system, where pilots can land on any of the carriers, refuel, fit a fuel scoop, and bugger off to Colonia under their own power. There is even a rumour that in one final display of virtue, the dastardly Don Antonacci siphoned off some of the fuel from Hankey's buses to allow himself and his Camorra henchpersons to escape into the void. In order to fool the Hankey's fuel gauges, in a move described as malice aforethought, they are said to have filled the tanks with urine which hasn't been recycled yet. This is a byproduct of the Sublime Order of Van Maanen Star Biowaste production process. A spokesman for the Sublime Order said, "We did wonder who was taking the piss. Now we know." Original Hankey only noticed when he took his first tritium bath of the day. He's also been unable to wash his hands since, flying in the face of current space lurgy recommendations. With the Colonia Bridge community goal starting today, this couldn't have come at a worse time for Hankey Bus Inc. Excuse me. And just goes to show how dastardly Don Antonacci really is. Bravo, Don Antonacci. Bravo.
Death to all kings and hot bosses. Although not Andrew Swaziland, because we like him. I am delighted to announce that the Hotbox leader has decided to turn its leadership over to the Council of Elders. In a thrilling campaign which attracted a total of three people, one nominated and voted, one nominated but didn't vote, and one voted but didn't nominate. So it was two nominations for Council of Elders and then two votes for Council of Elders. It's unanimous. No one could be arsed. There was a brief attempt by Pancho Pearson to install me as puppet dictator. You don't want to know where his hands go. I just wish he would warn them first. Finding the fancy dress shop had limited stock, Shady Pearson dressed up as an Anglican bishop and stormed the hotbox office on the lower rotunda. Sadly, the office was empty as everyone was out at the big ceremony, so he spun round in Andrew Swaziland's chair for a bit, ate all the biscuits, and then went home as his knee was playing him up. The dusty old hot bosses have roused from their slumber, straightened and powdered their wigs, donned their finest council robes, scrubbing furiously to get the pee stains out, and marched in procession to the great council chambers of elders, where they will once again take up the mantle of power. Unsure of the route, the council's newest member, Andrew Swaziland, wandered into a high security zone and was then immediately attacked by anti-personnel security turrets. Some things never change. The procession was cheered on by Hotbox's citizen commanders, who shouted slogans such as Liberté, Égalité, Fraternité amid the pomp and circumstance, except for Wraith Bobby B, who was heard yelling Vulgarité at the top of his voice. These citizen commanders, as they are calling themselves, have taken to wearing green sashes and rosettes on the side of their helmets. I meant space helmets. There is even talk of having a cock galois. I said cock, not penis. But no one can remember what's in the sauce or how long you cook it for. No sign of a guillotine yet, but it's early days. Vive la revolution!
Commander Vector 883 reckons that he's hit on a foolproof way to stun Thargoid interceptors, thus making it easier to dispose of them without anyone coming looking afterwards and avoiding those embarrassing questions from the authorities. We believe that his approach is based upon the methodology of the organisation called Confuser Cat, made famous in a documentary whose origins are lost, but we understand evolved some kind of flying circus. In summary, it involves pissing off the Thargoid to the point where it wraps drones around itself and falls over, causing great damage. Much as you might find with, say, Rudolf Hucker going out for a walk with his dog. The method is as follows. 1. As the interceptor scans you, show it what tit-for-tat means and scan it back. 2. When it gets bored and starts to move away, play What's the time, Mr. Wolf? And come close until it turns round and starts to deploy drones. 3. Back away immediately as if it was an accident that you'd got that close. Repeat this 2 or 3 times until it starts to mutter under its breath until you've really got on its nerves. Sit back and watch as it decides that you've sucked all the fun out of the game, makes a disgusted hooting sound, and starts to pack up its drone so it can go home for its tea. Before it finishes packing up, open fire. Yes, it's a dick move, but these Thargoids asked for it, moving into our galaxy, taking over those ammonia planets that we might have wanted one day. At this point, the Thargoid 0.7 will try to run away because you've really hurt its feelings, but will find its trussed up like the sort of Christmas turkey you used to get before they were all culled due to a lack of butchers, as mentioned in our first story tonight. It can't move, and like Flossie, it's mostly harmless. And that's just about it. Apart from the normal shields and a few perfunctory drones, it's as helpless as a kitten tied up in a ball of wool. Just much, much bigger, and with an inability to lick its own arse. Feel free to kill it, reduce it to the valuable bits and a few floating atoms. Scratch another notch on your cockpit and return to the fray.
All Hutton systems are tickety blue this week. See what I did there? No? Then pay attention at the back. There are no adverse states across the board, with about a third of systems enjoying states of civil liberty. So what, you say? What does all that mean? Well, civil liberty is the highest level of system security, meaning that they are very unlikely to slip into civil unrest or lockdown or have issues with pirates, terrorists, or folks nicking the milk bottles off your doorstep. Only Barnard Star is under 40% this week on 37. There were no conflicts earlier in the week, but now 4 factions are squabbling for the leftovers, including our old friends, 10th Fleet. Let's see how they get on and ease them into a lower slot if necessary. At the top end of the systems league, we have 8 systems above 60%, with 3 of those above 70%. It took both an expansion and a terrorist attack to drop Van Marnen's Star into the 50s. Ways and means, folks. Ways and means. The expansion VMS just mentioned was into LHS 1050 only this morning, but since this is a system dominated by Contrail, and we think it's, well, a bit of a dump, we aren't staying. Help out in the upcoming conflict to make sure we exit the system with a minimum of fuss. Meanwhile, the Eminence Grease, empty tanker driver of the Hutton Hotbus himself, the King of Fumes, the Grand Void of Tritium, Arch Fuel Hanky of Colonia, asked that truckers work for Hotcon in Tyr to win the last day of the election against the Colonia Council. Oh, and then relieve the famine. After that, truckers should work in Ale Procol Centauri to boost influence. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Barnard's Star when the elections and civil war calm down. If you want to shoot something, make sure we lose the war brewing in LHS 1050.
And now for news from our own correspondents as we update you on the progress of community-led events. As usual, links will be posted in Twitch chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. The Fleet Carrier Consu is still barrelling along the 124 waypoints of the Callan Challenge, with its passengers, who presumably are either dedicated explorers or are waiting for an enormous notoriety score to die down. And Commander Mephisto just had time this week to dash off this short note.
In comfy cannon cruises between waypoints 81 and 82 at three overlapping tritium hotspots to refuel. Commander Spinnerline redefined the word latecomer, catching up on Consu visiting all previous waypoints of the cruise. He wasn't stopped even by a jump his Aspexplorer couldn't manage. Instead, he flew back to the bubble to get an anaconda with an 80 light year jump range, only to be stranded in the system and having to self-destruct. But the rest of the waypoints he covered in only a few days without further problems, after which he was happily greeted on board by the passengers. Nearly half of the required tritium has been mined, so Consu will presumably stay or at least over the weekend before heading to the next crew stop.
Wild Wild West Expedition is living up to its name, and Commander Analog Kid has sent us this far-flung missive.
Last week, the Wild Wild West Expedition took science to a new and completely unnecessary level, with three commanders using high-powered geyser to launch their SRVs into orbit, and from there making a three-hour spaceborne journey to an adjacent planet some 2.3 megameters away. While the ride was a bit cramped, Commanders Quicksilver, Derek Johns and Airman Dan made landfall in the galaxy's first documented and confirmed interstellar transit of a planetary buggy. This week, the expedition is fresh off a visit to Cursed Moon of the Mercury expedition and is getting ready to head towards Toby's Rest, one of the key waypoints on the journey. A memorial service will be held with formation flyovers there next week. Details and stream information can be found at Discord at wildwest.space/Discord.
If you want to imitate the action of a pinball and bounce from one edge of the galaxy to another, then we have an expedition for you. Commander Infernal Moose sent us this diary entry. The party continues on the Great Galactic Circumnavigation Infernal Expedition. We've now reached Beagle Point and completed the second and longest leg of the expedition. This leg was over 78,000 light-years, and in total we've travelled over 124,000 light-years since we left Gable almost 3 weeks ago. Along the way we stopped at a variety of spectacular points of interest. At Jackson's Blue Light we were able to get over 22 commanders together in the same instance for flybys of the carrier, followed by a mass jump with the glow of the planetary nebula and the neutron star as a spectacular backdrop. This was followed by a planetary landing with SRV pileups and a race to the centre of a crater. Everyone had a great time, and thankfully no ships were destroyed, although some did come close during the 1G landings. More Centauri Megajin has unfortunately gone missing from the carrier stores. The carrier crew is still investigating. At our next stop at the Fly Void Sea, we were met by the unknown vessel. which provided 20,000 tonnes of tritium to refuel the expedition carrier. The refuelling was completed in less than an hour thanks to the amazing work of the carrier refuelling commanders. With the arrival of the unknown vessel, Commander Peña was able to complete his epic return to the expedition, and a number of other commanders were also able to join us. This location also provided a rare treat: multiple species of squid mollusks. The chefs on board, D-Scan will soon be over, the expedition carrier, were able to create delectable culinary delights for the crew. More gin was found to be missing after the feast, unfortunately. At Beagle Point, we were joined by Commander Magel, who has just completed the entire trip there in a 37 light-year DBX. A number of other commanders have joined us here as well. We will be departing this Beagle Point area on Sunday for leg 3 of the expedition towards the westernmost system in the galaxy. Everyone is welcome to join. Expedition All Clouds in the Sky has had a reasonably quiet week, and Commander Diluvian would like to explain.
The stars of the galaxy shine bright until they fade. Just last week, one of my dear friends lost his battle to lymphoma, and his star just faded. Brad wasn't a commander, but his passing had a huge impact on me and my latest flying activities and involvement in the expedition. On the positive side, our dear friend Commander Kalidas Akoma, who missed the departure from the bubble, managed to catch up with us earlier this week and spent almost 700 million credits to transfer all his necessary vessels from the bubble to LHL 31Z Zodiac. The crew is still mining to backfill the few reserves before their next leg to 3 Geminorum.
And that's this week's summary of community-led events. If you want yours to be featured, just email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and we'll get in touch.
And that was the news. Stay tuned for a brand new Galnet News Digest special, Flossie's Roundup of the CG News, and the Hutton Sports Report. But first...